We take a look at a new investigative report on teen sexting in Wisconsin. In November, one nude photo from Rhinelander High School led law enforcement officials to dozens of students who are trading explicit pictures with each other on a regular basis.
Shireen Seward is with us to talk about her investigation into teen sexting in Wisconsin. She's a reporter for the Gannett, Wisconsin Media Investigative Team. Shireen, welcome back to Central Time.
Thank you for having me.
Well, just to make sure we're all on the same page, what is sexting?
Sexting basically is sending a sexually explicit message through a cell phone or a tablet to one another. So, and teens are doing that on an increasing basis.
When you talk about an increasing basis, what are the numbers? How many teens are doing this?
Well, the most recent figures that I found, the most recent survey was done by the National Campaign to Prevent Teen and Unplanned Pregnancy. It was a very widespread survey. Nationwide, nearly 40% of students said that they had either sent or received a sexually explicit image. And now those images are not just staying with their boyfriend or with their girlfriend, but police are telling us that those images are now finding their way into the hands of sexual predators.
And one thing a lot of teens who engage in sexting don't know is that it's actually against the law.
That's right. And they think it's harmless. It seems harmless to them. You know, they're sending a picture of themselves to a boyfriend or to a girlfriend. They have no idea that that picture could be circulated or forwarded or end up, you know, God only knows, you know, 10 or 15 years down the road, something that their own child finds on the internet. And that does happen. It certainly is illegal. Possession of child pornography is, you know, having that image of anyone who is under 18.
Now, to focus in on Rhinelander here in Wisconsin, there was an issue community-wide that came to the attention of law enforcement there. What happened?
Well, it's my understanding that one student had an image on his phone, showed his mom. His mom went to authorities, and that launched the investigation. When the Oneida County Sheriff's Department got involved, they took a look, and they were pretty overwhelmed with the number of kids that were involved. They stopped after identifying more than 40 students. There were hundreds of photos. Some of them ended up as much as five states away. It was just enormous. And when they talked to these kids, they found out that, you know, most of these photos, they were selfies, they were the private photos that were taken, and most of these kids were just doing it without thinking that there was anything potentially wrong with it, that there were any potential consequences to them. It was just something they did, and they did it all the time. So officials decided there, instead of prosecuting, they wanted to educate the kids on what possibly could happen to them.
And some of these photos, I mean, you talk about consequences. Some of that is what you mentioned, the embarrassment factor, the fact that these pictures linger far beyond what anyone might conceive of when you take them on the internet, well into, you know, maybe adulthood. You're looking for a job and that kind of thing. But there are also personal safety things that have become an issue, too. What sorts of things do kids who take these pictures need to be aware of in terms of their own personal risk?
Sure. Some sexual predators are using these nude images to blackmail teens into producing more pornography of themselves. Some of them are using them to meet in person. There are cases like that that I can name from in Wisconsin and out of Wisconsin where that has happened. Some predators persuade children to trade images of themselves posing as children themselves. They have no idea that they're talking to a 50-year-old man or somebody like that. They think that they're talking to a 15-year-old on the other end of the camera, and that's just not the case. So they can be tricked. They can be persuaded, and some terrible things have happened as a result.
You mentioned education as being the primary tool that law enforcement is leaning toward now. What is the message that needs to get out there?
Well, I've heard from several investigators that I've spoken to that said, you know, it's really hard to stop this behavior, but the best thing that we can do is educate kids as to what can possibly happen. I'm a mother of teenagers myself. I know how they think. They don't think about the potential consequences of their actions. And if they know, they might think twice about sending that button, sending that image or forwarding that image. So they need to know that not only can those photos be around forever, but that it can also lead to some serious consequences legally for them.
Right. We were talking about the legal aspect of this. What are some of the repercussions legally that a kid who's been sexting could face?
Sure. Teens in several states, including Wisconsin, have been charged with felonies, including sexual abuse of a minor and distributing or possessing child pornography for sexting, even when the nude images are traded with other teens. And in 2012, Wisconsin lawmakers passed into law a mandatory minimum 3-year prison sentence for possessing child pornography. So that means a 17-year-old who receives explicit images from a younger friend could be sent to prison. It could happen.
In terms of the technology that's making all this possible, what's changed there?
Well, of course, technology has evolved in the past few decades. There are more apps. Some apps for phones promise anonymity to its users. There are several apps like that. Whisper is one. Another one, Instagram. I mean, you upload those pictures and you can communicate with people anonymously, but the reality is they can get your information, and you don't know who you're talking to. So technology has certainly contributed to the problem.
Is there a way for parents to monitor that kind of activity, short of, you know, sneaking on and checking their kids' phones?
Well, they do need to check browsing history and search for those images on. I know that some parents have an iCloud account where photos that are uploaded from connected iPhones in the account, those images will all go to a central account, and you'll see those pictures that your kids are taking. But really, you've got to talk to your kids more than anything. Be a good parent. Be an involved parent. Talk about this and have this conversation that could be it could be a little bit uncomfortable. I mean, nobody wants to talk about sexually explicit images with their kids, but that's the best thing that you can do. We do have a chat coming up Tuesday night online where three detectives will be giving advice for parents, talking to them about how they can talk to their kids to help protect them.
Do you think that some of the rise in sexting is simply because this technology is so new that as kids do get more educated, there are more conversations like the one you just mentioned, kids become aware of the legal ramifications, that there's going to be a decline in this? Or is there just sort of a kids will be kids aspect to all of it?
Of course, kids will always be kids. Kids will always want to flirt. They'll always want to push the envelope. They're always going to be curious about these kinds of things. But I think it's really important that as children have more access to technology, that parents monitor that technology and they have conversations with their children about what they're doing online.
And as far as law enforcement here in Wisconsin, are they offering any particular advice to students in schools?
You know, really, the biggest advice that they're giving to students is do not send that picture, because that picture that you think is going to stay private is not always staying private. Even on applications like Snapchat, where that image disappears, it doesn't always disappear. Sometimes it stays. There's a digital imprint that stays. Sometimes the person that you send the Snapchat to will take a screenshot of the image you sent and pass that around. So you just never know. And the best thing to do is to not send that picture.
And in Rhinelander, what has been the aftermath of some of what the police uncovered? I know they began and thought they were just kind of getting at the tip of the iceberg. So what's happened in that particular community?
I know that they feel pretty confident that they've at least opened the door to conversation and let parents know what's going on. I think a lot of parents were really shocked to learn that their kids were involved in this kind of behavior. They did have an educational session. They had a special agent come and talk to parents and kids about what could happen. And that's encouraged an ongoing conversation there. So, you know, they feel like they have at least started the process to get a handle on it.
And is that community, do you think, typical of Wisconsin as a whole and maybe the country as a whole?
Oh, I do. I absolutely do. I think that parents largely think that they know what their kids are doing online and on their phones. And I think that they don't. They just don't. I have to say myself, I'm always surprised when I learn these things, too. And as I said, I'm a parent of teenagers, too. So it does hit home for me as well.
A lot of the times, the top-down approach, law enforcement, parents, those kinds of conversations read as sort of authority talking to kids, a bit of a power imbalance that can make the message get lost. Are there any signs that kids themselves could be part of this and urge other kids not to do this?
Well, it sure would be great. And I think that in Rhinelander, for instance, those kids did have some consequences to their behavior. Some were athletes. They were subject to some penalties based on athletic code violations. I mean, they saw some consequences. They certainly weren't charged, you know, with a crime. But those kids, I'm hoping, will be an example for others and will be able to talk to other kids about what not to do, so they don't end up in the same situation.
Well, Shireen, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me. I do appreciate it.
We've been speaking with Shireen Seewert, reporter for the Gannett, Wisconsin Media Investigative Team, talking about the problem of teen sexting here in Wisconsin.
You can read her reporting over at the Central Time Facebook page. We've got a link there.